Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm glad to be with you all tonight. And looking forward to a study into the Bible that hopefully will give us some things to think about and give us some idea of how we can grow as Christians. And what I want to look at is the idea of being a servant. Turn to Romans chapter 16. I want to read two verses there to start off. But I think this lesson in a lot of ways will kind of follow on the backside of what Tom talked about this morning. For the one who wants to be a servant, or the one who's going to be a servant, has to be one who places themselves below the one that they're serving. And ultimately, that's us placing ourselves or recognizing our place below God, elevating Him above ourselves, which obviously is the place that He should be. And in doing so, our goal is to be pleasing to Him or to serve Him. In fact, some people will use the term for when we assemble or when we gather as service. I'm going to church services, which in a way is us revering or showing respect and praise to God. But what I want to look at is how can we grow as servants? Chapter 16 of Romans, verse 1, Paul, in kind of concluding his letter, or in the conclusion here, says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well." So, the description that Paul uses for Phoebe is she is a servant of the church. So the first question I would ask is, if someone were describing you, were commending you to someone, would their commendation include this person a servant of the church? I think that's the very thing that we should aspire toward. We should try to be the people who would be recognized as that. But I doubt many people, when talking about Clark, that's how they would describe him. And because of that, I need to think about, well, how can I make myself more into that type of person? And when we look at her, we see a few things. First of all, we see that she's called a servant of the church, which we mentioned. And kind of in describing that, he says basically she has been a helper or a benefactor or a patron, depending on what your translation might say. So she has given to others, been helpful to others. And Paul says specifically, she's been helpful to me. She has done for me in addition to what she's done for the church there and for the Christians there. And so he tells the people, you know, recognize that she needs to be received in a worthy manner. So Paul saw this person who is called a servant as someone who should be received in a worthy manner. And again, that probably is kind of counterintuitive to the way that we think of servants, just in general, because typically someone who is sent to you as a servant is someone who, again, we look at as lower, as being lower. But he points out that this is the type of person that should be received in a worthy manner. So he recognized that in her humbling herself, she needs to be praised by them or received well by them. And he tells them, you know, this person is working. This person is a worker, is a helper. You help her as she needs that help. If she's working on something and needs your assistance, you help out with that. And so I use her just in this example to show that this idea of a servant of the church. And we don't know a whole lot about her. But we see that Paul has a lot of respect for her, and we see that she has been profitable in the church. And it's possible, and we'll talk about this a little more, it's possible that some translations might call her, instead of a servant of the church, might call her a deacon of the church or a deaconess of the church. Because the word, it seems like the word deacon is essentially the same word for servant. It means the same thing. So when you look at what a deacon is to be, they're to be a servant. So it's that same idea. But I want to look at this for a couple of reasons. Number one is Christians are expected to be servants. I think the scriptures make that clear. Jesus makes that clear. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, and I want to read verses 25 through 28, he says, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" So Jesus points out that it is the responsibility of the apostles he's talking to, but it's the responsibility of Christians to be servants. He says, if anyone wants to be great, wants to do great things, well, in doing that, you do that by becoming a servant. And he says, just as the Son of Man, or just as Christ himself, became a servant. And so he set the example. And again, a Christian is one who is like Christ, or is to be living as Christ lived. So if Christ made himself a servant, then that naturally would be the expectation for his followers, for those who are like him. John 12, it talks about the one who serves Christ will be honored by the Father. Again, the same concept here of the one who wants to be great needs to be the servant, or the one who wants to be first should be a slave. So it fits in along with that. And also, God won't forget the work of ministering to the saints. The scriptures make that clear, and I think I got that out of Hebrews, and I apologize for not getting the scripture up there. I can find that. But God basically points out that, you know, your labor, your work in serving or in ministering to others is not going to be forgotten. He's going to remember that. He's going to credit, in essence, have that as a credit to your account or to your record. So we should want to be servants because that's what's expected of Christians. And I think most Christians would look at this idea and think, you know, I want to do more. What more can I do? And I'd say we've probably all had that thought at some times of recognizing, especially when maybe something kind of clicks with us that, you know, look at what I've been given, or look at the blessings I have, or look at the forgiveness I have, or look at what other people are doing, all that they're doing, or studying the scriptures, look at what the apostles did, or look at what some of these early people did. And we get the idea that, you know, I have that desire to become a bigger part of this, to grow. But I might think, I don't know how to do that. You know, I want to do more, but I don't know what more to do. So hopefully, in some of our discussion tonight, we can look at some of the things that we might be able to do, some of the ways that we can grow in our service to others. So I guess before we get any further, just want to look at what it means to serve. And I looked up serve in the dictionary, and it gave me some things. To render assistance, to work for, to be useful to help. To render obedience. So these are kind of, I think we all kind of understand this, but this is what it means to serve. You have a purpose, you're helpful, you're doing good. And when we think about servants, and I think one of the things that kind of spurred this in my mind was when we remembered Veterans Day earlier in the last week, Wednesday, the thought of these people who serve their country is a term we use for those who are in the military. And also, we talk about public servants, those who are responsible for serving the country. And at work, we had a dinner that some of the workers there kind of put together in honor of our veterans. there are several veterans who work where I work. And so, you know, you heard the term a lot that day, thank you for your service. People appreciated the sacrifice that those men had made in giving up of their time. And obviously the veterans hadn't given their life, but many did and were willing to give their life to make their country a better place, to make it an easier place to live for their fellow citizens. But I also thought it was interesting that those who were thanking them for their service were the ones who were serving them at that time, those who had put the meal together, or organized, made the food, and organized this event to recognize them. And you see there's, I think we would both recognize that the level of sacrifice or the amount that went into both of those services are very different. Some people have given up years of their life, and the other people gave up, you know, hours and gave up not what we would consider on the same level, but both were still being servants to the others. And I think we need to recognize the significance of this, that it doesn't have to be always of the same level. Service comes in both great and small ways. And again, we'll look at that a little more. Let's put on here. Oh, there it goes. So one thing I want to point out that's interesting, though, is I want to just go through briefly some examples of those who are listed or recognized as servants in the Bible. There's Phoebe, which we talked about, Stephanus, Tychicus, Epaphras. Paul recognizes all of these people as either servants or ministers, those who do work. Also, we think about the seven in Acts 6, and I think we could probably name two of them, and the other five we'll probably have a little more trouble with. But what do we know about all these people? Not much. You know, if I just put this list of names up here, I'd say a lot of us would either have no idea who they were or very little idea of, well, I recognize the name, but I don't know much about it. We don't know much. These are not what we would consider the significant or the big characters in the Bible. If someone wanted you to name a Bible character, and you named Paul or you named Peter, you know, that would stand out. But if someone named, well, Phoebe, well, people are just going to kind of look at him and be like, what? Huh? So it's important to recognize that even though we talked earlier about how the one who wants to be great should be a servant, that doesn't mean we servants become glorified for what they're doing on earth. And that's not why they do it. And it's important to make sure that our reason for being a servant isn't to glorify ourselves or to bring praise to ourselves. And I think Jesus makes that very clear in Matthew chapter 6, if you want to look there. In a Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, he talks about people who are giving and then also people who are praying. In chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." And then he also talks about prayer. He says, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." So he points out the idea here that if the reason you're helping others or the reason you're doing good is just so people will see you and will praise you, then that's all the reward that you're going to get. You've got more than your reward. Now, that doesn't mean that the one who is being a servant, that people might not people might recognize it, but it's the idea of promoting it or of trying to stand out or of doing it for that purpose. I remember when I was a younger lad, I was mowing the yard somewhere, probably at grandma's house, and I remember, I hope somebody, some pretty girl walks by and sees me doing this. And they'll be really impressed by me. Well, that wasn't doing things for the right reason, you know? Now, maybe that wasn't the only reason I did it, but that pulls away from the good of helping someone. So, it's important that we don't focus on what this is going to do for us. And being a servant, our focus should be on who we're serving. So, the question we're going to look at now is how do we serve? How do we become servants or grow as servants? The first thing is you've got to humble yourself. We talked about that. Again, Tom talked about that. You're not going to be able to raise someone else above yourself until you lower yourself down. If I think I'm the most important person, then why am I going to sacrifice what I've got, my time or my money or my abilities? Why am I going to sacrifice that for someone who I see as less worth it than myself? And if I have that attitude, I'm not going to be a servant. It's just not going to happen. So it all starts with our attitude toward ourselves. Humble yourself before God, and He's the one who can exalt you. And so, again, it's easy to humble ourselves, I think, if we focus on the fact that God is above us. And no matter what we could do or how great we could become, we would still be insignificant in comparison to how great God is and what God does. But we can start serving each other with love. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I think this is an interesting idea here that loving one another is the key. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, he says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" You know, that is the foundation for serving someone, if you love them. So it doesn't start by, well, I'm just going to grudgingly do these nice things for people. But it's a desire to. It's an attitude. And when we look at being a Christian, and we look at what the New Testament is all about, and what Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount throughout, it's all about attitude. It's not just about what you do. But it's about your heart. It's behind what you do, but what motivates you, what reasons you're doing things for. You know, always we can strive to be like David, who was not perfect by any means, but was a man after God's own heart. His heart was in the right place. His heart was what God was looking for. So it starts with our heart toward one another, through loving one another. That's how we can start to serve. To love, I don't know about that. I think you can, I don't know how much Jesus trusted us when he gave himself for us. I think a lot of the people proved to not be trustworthy. But Jesus gave himself. And that's the ultimate sacrifice. And again, we'll look at that level of sacrifice from I'm giving everything to what other sacrifices might be. But look over in verse 10 of the next chapter, Galatians 6, verse 10. He says, and I think this is a key, again, to being a servant. He says, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." While we have opportunity. The important thing we've got to do is we've got to recognize when we've got opportunity. We can all say, well, God give me opportunities to do good, and one comes and we're just not paying attention because why would we miss that? We're too focused on ourselves. We're too focused on what we want or what we need, but we need to look for opportunities. And we can't wait. Don't wait for someone to tell you to do something, or don't wait for a command or direction. But if you see something that can be done, that needs to be done, do something about it. Now, maybe you're not able to handle that by yourself. Get some help. But even in showing someone about something that needs to be done, if you're directing someone to that, you're still helping. You're still being a servant. It's also important for us to recognize that we don't all have to serve in the same capacity or with the same ability. So it's important for us to evaluate our own abilities. We don't all have the same skill set. We don't all have the same opportunities. We don't all have the same means or the same amount of time. We don't have the same energy. We're not the same. We're different people. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul, I think, points this out in a very important way. He compares us to the body. And he says, if you're all hands, well, where's the seeing come from? Or where's the hearing? Or if you're all doing the same thing, if you're all the same, as far as working the same function, then you're missing out on this other part. So I think a lot of times we'll look at someone who's doing something that we might consider a big thing. And I know several of you went to Kendall Springs on Tuesday to hear Bob Buchanan talk about his travels overseas. And I might look at that and say, "What? Look at this big thing he's doing. I can't do that, or I'm not able to do that, or I don't have the same skills that he has, and I feel like I'm not important." But God doesn't expect us to all do the same thing. God expects us to all work our own part. So look at what your abilities are. And again, that's another thing that Bob pointed out that stood out to me. Is he said, you know, whatever you're good at, we'll work with that. Maybe someone who's not a teacher, but someone who's handy. You can go help with the physical needs of the people, with rebuilding something that's been torn down or helping with that. Or maybe it's someone who doesn't feel comfortable speaking publicly, but you can still work one-on-one with people as that need arises. You know, different people, again, have different abilities, different opportunities. So find the things that you're able to do, and then find where that fits in with serving others. We'll talk about some of the things that maybe we can specifically do within our skill sets. And you know what you're capable of more than I know. The closer that we are to people, maybe the better we understand it. But we understand, you know, what we're capable of more than what someone else understands of us. So we can't let them dictate. We can't let someone else dictate what I should be able to do. I need to work through that on my own. Also, nothing. All right. Also, we need to recognize that even the small things are significant. And I think, again, this is where we can get ourselves caught up in thinking we're insignificant. Because I realize that whatever I can do, whatever my abilities are, I'm probably not going to have, it's likely I'm not going to have to give up as much as Christ gave up. In fact, I can't give up as much as Christ gave up. But even physically, I might not have to give up my life in service to someone else, in helping someone else. But that doesn't mean that what I do isn't important. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. We'll start in verse 40 of Matthew chapter 10. He says, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." He points out here that the smallest of things, giving this cup of water, you know, that's even noticeable. That's even significant. And then he goes into even more detail on this, if you want to turn to the 25th chapter of Matthew, with the picture that he paints of the judgment. And what he shows here is that these people have done these things. And he says, Verse 35, he says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And says, then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? You know, when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." So again, the point here is these are not great things. These are not not things that stand out as we would be wowed by them. Someone gave someone food. Someone visited someone who was sick or in need, and just helped in a small way. But the king, the judge, recognizes that this has been done for him, even if it's done for the least, the most insignificant of the brethren or of the other people. Then he recognizes that as being done for him. So, you know, doesn't that stand out as wow, we need to look for opportunities to give to God? You know, and again, you would think of the point, well, if I saw Jesus and Jesus needed something to drink, would I give him something to drink? I think we'd all go far out of our way to do that. So his point is, if you've done that for the least of these, you've done it for me. So we should be willing just the same to go out of our way to give what little things are needed by those around. We already talked about do good while we have the opportunity. Whatever that opportunity may be, we need to recognize it and we need to jump on it. So I guess the kind of in conclusion, the question would be, what can I do? And again, I can't answer this for you specifically, but I think I can give you some principles that hopefully will help. Number one, we've got to know people to know if there's an opportunity. If you don't know someone's in need, you're not going to be able to help fill that need. I think I try to point that out a lot because I think that's significant. It all starts with relationships. That's the foundation of it. And I know some of you have done some things for others, just what might seem like a minor thing, but it might be huge for them. You know, you think about Rick all that time bringing Bertha Royce to church. That's something that she needed help with that he saw he had the opportunity to do. Did that take great skill? Was that a great thing he did as far as when people look at that and be like, oh, wow, that's so impressive. But that was a big deal to her. That was extremely significant for her. You know, I know Jack would go and sit with Ronnie so Brenda could go to ladies' class. You know, these things like that. It seems like a small thing, but that can mean so much to someone. And again, even if it is just a small thing, we see that Jesus recognizes that's still a big deal. That's not going to be forgotten. What can you do within the church or for the church? How can you be a servant of the church? You know, look for ways to help. If you're a handy person, there's something wrong with the building, fix it or help fix it. You know, I know a couple weeks ago, Tom was having a little bit of car trouble, I think a flat tire or something, and he had about five people swarmed around helping him get that fixed. And I think he had to shoo them off when Amelia came out, so it looked like he was doing some work, but that's the help that we can provide. Some people are very good at those things. So they see that opportunity, and they do it. Some people are just good at brightening your day. And they might not even realize they're doing it, but just by smiling at you, or by giving you a hug, or by saying something nice, it's great to see you. You can feel it, but you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference between someone who says it's great to see you and someone who thinks it's great to see you. So again, it starts with that love. That love for one another. That's how we serve each other. You know, maybe you're not really comfortable, you're not great at talking to people, but you can write them a letter. You can write something that would encourage them. There are so many just small ways that we can do things for others. But we need to recognize, we need to have a desire to recognize that it's important. We need to love them and look for those opportunities. And then when we've got them, take advantage of them. So again, I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly what you need to do to be a better servant. But hopefully, I can give you some things to think about that will help point you in the right direction. You know, think about what you're able to do and look for chances to do that. It's hard. It's not easy. I think we all recognize that there's more we can do than what we're doing. But hopefully we'll realize that at least in principle, the concept is simple. What can I do? And do it. I know there's a lot more, and I know a lot of you do things that even maybe no one else or one other person knows that you're doing it, which is kind of the principle that we talked about there in Matthew 6. And that's great. And even if it's not recognized, it's appreciated. Because I think we all recognize that it takes a lot for any group of people to be successful, to have done all the things that need to get done. And so if you can find one way that you can help with something that's not being done, or you can help it to be done better, take advantage of that. You know, look for that chance. And even if no one else recognizes it, God recognizes it. And it's important to Him. That's the criteria He talks about that we're going to be judged by. That's at the judgment what the conversation is going to be, the example we see. So we should focus on recognizing that we need to do what we can do. You know, what can I do? I think we sing a song, if just a cup of water, you know, I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living, they can thy glory see. So if it's a cup of cold water, if it's giving your life, look for ways that you can help serve others. Hopefully this has been helpful to you. For those of you who are not Christians, recognize that Christ, as great and mighty as He is, made Himself a servant. Not because we deserved it, but because He loves us. Because He wanted to. That's the type of love and the type of character that He has. And so He's given His life so that you can have forgiveness of your sins, so that you can have a hope of eternal life. And you can live with Him. And not that you're going to be able to pay Him back, but you can get started in enjoying that relationship that He wants you to enjoy. In being with Him, which is the reason He gave Himself for us. He gave Himself so that he could have a large family. His family could grow, and you can be a part of that. So if there's anybody in need of giving their life to Him, of humbling themselves in baptism, we'll offer that invitation. Come forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.